Welcome to the Student Athlete Preparation Podcast, brought to you by SimplyFaster.com, the industry's leading sports technology and coach education platform. Check out their products and blog at SimplyFaster.com, SimplyFaster.com. Today is a very special episode for recapping the 2021 NHSSEA NatCon. We were there up in Minneapolis, Minnesota for Coach Ryan Johnson's place. At Wayzata High School, right on the, I believe it's on the west side of Minneapolis. And this episode, you're going to hear from two guys, me and Mark Hoover, sit down and kind of and go over our experience at NatCon. And then you're also going to hear live. We were live at NatCon, sitting down in the booth at the Simply Faster booth with Richard Burnett, the head strength conditioning coach at Greater Atlanta Christian. And we go over his new product, the PlyoMat, which is really good. It's a Just Jump Mat on steroids. I think it's so much better than the Just Jump Mat. If there's anybody that wants to reach out to Rich about that or me, we can get you in touch. It's a really awesome product. He goes in detail for about 20 minutes on where it came from, where that idea came from, and what his new mat does and how it's important. You'll hear from Rich first, and then after that, we'll transition right into Mark's episode where we go over the whole experience, man, and it was a great time to be around. So, without further ado, let's get this party started.
Welcome to the Student Athlete Preparation Podcast, hosted by high school strength and conditioning coach Cody Hughes.
This ain't your normal podcast, y'all.
He's bringing real discussions about real strategies to improve the student athlete development and preparation process. New episodes every Friday with guests who are all about keeping it real.
It'll warn you now. You might get your feelings hurt.
The mics are on and the takes are hot. Enjoy this episode. Here's your host, Cody Hughes.
Hey, what's going on, guys, and welcome to the Student Athlete Preparation Podcast. This is a special episode of with Mark Hoover. We just got back from the 2021 NHSSEA NatCon in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where Mark and I represented Simply Faster, and we were unique because we were both attendees and partners. You know, that's an interesting relationship there that we were up there. So Mark and I are just going to kind of talk about what we saw and what we experienced both with the NHSSEA and what makes why we feel like it was a success for us with Simply Faster. So Mark, thanks for taking the time to join with me today, man. It's really good that we can go over this.
Yeah, man. Glad to be here. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. So getting up there and getting set up, what about the conference did you take away? Like just a couple of bullet points did you take away from it now that we could get back in person?
Well, one is just like the fellowship, man. There's second to none. I know, you know, people that aren't members of the association or attend these conferences probably are like, man, these guys are full of it. Like they're all posting like, oh, it's so great and everybody's friendly. And I'm telling you, it's absolutely, the organization is unbelievable. Yeah. The group of people that are the leadership, I mean, the people that I met, I mean, you know, just, I was telling someone the other day that like all the guys and girls that I've become close friends with just because of the association, that alone is worth it.
Yeah, you know? Doubt. No
and
doubt.
That was my initial take.
Yeah, it was good, man. It was so good to finally be around these people that I haven't met in person and finally get to. This was my first one. You know, I'd never experienced anything like this to where, you know, it's not like your NSCAA or CSCCA conference. It's where it's a lot more intimate, in my opinion. Even just the downtime of getting to hang out with each other at the hotel, and also like at this conference they feed you. You know, like that's a big deal.
Nonstop.
Yeah, like getting to sit down in the whole room, and you could have sit down with any coach and just talked over food. You know, that's a big deal. You know, like
I felt guilty because, you know, I've been to all five, so I've made like, I feel like I'm close friends with like 100 people that were there.
Right.
And I'm walking into the cafeteria to get food, and I'm like, I mean, I don't want to like seem like I don't want to sit with this guy, but I, you know, I want to, I mean, that's how it was crazy. But the best story for me, it's Steve Schwinn, and I talk about this all the time, you know, Cienega High School in Arizona, for great coach. And at first NatCon, John Hertzel and I walk into the hotel and we go upstairs first uptown. We come down and we're walking out to the car and we're in the glass doors and in walks Steve, you know, bald, beard. And Hurst was like, that guy looks like a strength coach. We're like, hey, man, he was a strength coach. He's like, yeah. Like, hey, you want to go to dinner with us? Yeah. We sat down. I mean, became fast friends, hung out the whole time. I mean, I feel like if he ever came to Charlotte, he'd probably crash at my place. You know, that's how we've you know, grown from that. And, I mean, it's just 100 stories like that.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't say enough.
No doubt. You know, we got the opportunity to do something a little different and represent Simply Faster at their booth, which was really cool. If you guys tried to watch the live stream, it was kind of, we're still, I'm trying to get better. That was kind of my responsibility. But Mark, your responsibility, which was to demonstrate the VMAX Pro, one thing I was really excited to see was during those partner mini sessions, man, I thought our booth was the hit. Like there was a lot of people wanting to know about the VMAX Pro. And thankfully that we had Arsenal Strength next to us to be able to demonstrate both the squat and the bench in two different sessions.
Yeah.
And then be able to show the new beta software coming out soon. So talk to us a little bit about the VMAX Pro's new software and how it's going to be changed from the original app.
Yeah, I had the easy job, man. Like I had the easy job. You were, I was trying to help out, but my job was kind of just the demonstration and talk. But I didn't know exactly how many people we'd had, but you're right, man. It was like unbelievable the amount of traffic we had, the people that talked to me about it. I think that the VMAX Pro kind of brings together the reliability of something more expensive, you know, like the gym aware is the gold standard. And, you know, it's so everything's compared to that. And I think it gets close in that area, but it also is versatile and affordable, you know? So I think that's one of the, everyone's looking for, you know, that price range option. And, you know, I think I've used everything in that price range for the most part. There's nothing even close. And the new software is just going to, so I was telling the group, I'm sure you heard me say it both times, just real quick that, you know, talking to Marcel, the developer, he kind of said, hey, we built this thing for kind of the European sports model. Mm-hmm. And it was good that way. And they sat down and want to talk to me and some other high school coaches about how they can make it a team optimization, you know, aspect of it too, and really bring it to us as a team unit. And we gave him our ideas. And a couple months later, I set up a Zoom call with him. I take a 6-page of notes. He nailed it. I'm excited to get, you know, we have this break. We're in this dead period coming up, and the team software should be out hopefully before we come back on the 12th. And I'll jump right in with it. Calendar, you know, it kind of has a calendar option. And it, you know, it automatically adjusts the kid's weight, the athlete, the lifter's weights based on various things, whether you want it to be velocity drop, velocity range, percentage, you know. I could talk all day about it, but it's something else, man. It really is.
Yeah, it's such a good product. I have one too. I'm excited to when it actually updates to where I can start playing with a little bit more now that I have the team license, so we can actually start trying to get as individualized as possible and reading that data and all that. But that was a really good part of the conference where we got to do that. I'm hats off to Gary and all the founders and Rich and those guys for allowing the partners to have a chance to showcase their stuff, you know, cause that's important, you know, and it's, I don't know if, you know, with us being, you know, helping Simple Faster out and first time they're being at a conference, I would say it was a success for us being able to be both, cause we got to represent them, but we also got to attend the conference. You know, it's not like some vendors just show up and they put their stuff up. And then as soon as the partner alley's done, I mean, they're gone. Like you don't even see them, you know, and, getting to be able to do that was really awesome. Man, talk about the high school we were at. Guys, the high school we were at, Coach Ryan Johnson has an absolute mecca of a high school. That thing is massive. It's got 7 or 8 gyms. The weight room is right off the hallway in a garage roll-up door. Their cafeteria is the size of a college cafeteria, if not bigger. That's where we were set up during the partner booth time. So that was a lot of fun. And just being able to hang out off campus, you know, like if there was one thing I noticed being my first time was, you know, we didn't get to do the whole, you know, they planned to have this event after it was over at Lake Minnetonka or whatever, but it was raining and all that. So we just pivoted to the hotel, you know, social area, and man, just hanging out and being able to talk to anybody without worrying about any type of big timing. And that happened, you know, like being able to, you have the founders of the entire organization right there, just mingling among us because they were all mm-hmm. coaches too. You know, that's a yep. big deal. And getting to meet guys like you and Adam Lane and all these Daniel other coaches.
McKim? Daniel McKim was there?
Yeah, from Sornex. Yeah, he was.
That was awesome.
The little Debbie King himself was there. Yeah. It was really cool, you know.
And just hanging out with us, you know. It was, yeah. you know, I mean, Joe Ken sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the whole deal, man. It was something else.
Yeah, I mean, and then getting to see – what was pretty surreal for me, too, was the award ceremony. And I know some people were getting – really antsy because it was long because they had to make up for last year. I mean, I get it, but getting to see how they honored those coaches and yep. how everybody's there, the way they put together videos, the detail for both, you know, Dr. Metters, Coach Schrock, and Coach Vanderbush, man, like, I feel like those guys flew under the radar for years. Like
no doubt.
Nobody really knew who they were because they were high school strength coaches before high school strength coach even was a thing, you know? So I'm thankful to the association just for doing that.
Yeah, that was really something else. I was appreciative that they had the award winners from last year stand, you know, just that was just cool. And then just having those videos and, you know, the research they did to bring those people in, you know, I heard Kevin talking about it. He had no idea. He was like, where did you find, you know, they just, they cover every base, you know, they talk about bringing value to the profession and to our field. And I mean, I'm telling you, I've been to different conferences and you're right. There's a lot of like rolling up your sleeve guys walking around, you know, like, and then a lot of guys with the logos that are bumming and not going to talk to this guy and that guy. And I'm telling you, is there a bigger strength coach than Gary Schofield? You know, like, I mean, like,
I know. Be
anywhere, you know what I'm saying? Like, and like just laughing and joking. And I mean, it's just, and him and I go way back, but I mean, it's just a different thing, man. It's great.
Gary was down here about a month ago. He podcasted yeah. with me. And then as soon as I got in the doors, you know, I was lugging that 80-pound podcast mm-hmm. studio bag. And the first thing Gary came up to me was like, hey, let me get that. And he took it from me. And that thing's yeah. not light. And I was like, Gary, you don't have to, like, you know, he's like, I know I don't. That's kind of the point. He's like, let me get this yeah. where you needed to go. Yeah, I thought that was powerful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing that makes the NHSSCA different, like, is the uniqueness of making sure everybody's heard. You know, like, there's a guy that I met there by the name of Alex Greenway. He's mm-hmm. he was local. He's bought my ebooks. He's talked to me a ton of times, DM'd me, reached out, doing a great job at his high school. And I honestly had no idea what he looked like. That's probably a terrible part on my end, just from social media, especially the Twitter side. And he just came up to me at the first night and was like, hey, coach, it's Alex. It's nice to finally meet you in person. That took guts to just approach somebody you don't know. Like, I look at it from my end. But I know in a lot of other situations that, I mean, you never know that how you're going to approach somebody at a conference where they could really mm-hmm. big time you. Like, you could feel really humiliated in a moment like that. I hope that Alex felt like, he felt comfortable in doing that, not just because of me, but because of the environment we were in. I mean, it didn't matter who was talking to who. Everybody was just together in that small room. So that the food, I mean, there was food at every opportunity, man. Like,
yeah, those ribs, man. Oh my God.
I know. Well, I'm just like, sometimes that can be a deterrence for a cost for a coach, because you're like, the conference fee is one thing, but getting there, staying there, and then eating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it adds up quick, right? So. Doing
in
that.
Reality, you could have, if you didn't come the night before, you know, you really wouldn't have to pay for much food. You know, yeah. I mean, we did the one time, but I mean, you know, what jumped out to me was like, you see, seeing everybody like, just like, you know, I've been good social media buddies with Adam Vogel for a long time. No idea how that is a big dude. And I was like, I just, you know, you see someone sitting there like, you know, you just guys walk up and be like, hey, we've been chatting on Zoom, you know, like a guy that I've been talking to about a different thing, Coaching Plus thing. And he's like, it's like, he goes, I didn't know if you'd recognize me. And I was thinking, I didn't, but I'm glad I do now, you know, yeah. Just like seeing people up close and in person and just, you know, I mean, just great stuff, man.
Yeah, no doubt. So you've got this, the family atmosphere, the food, mm-hmm. I really like how when we go to learn, it's very concentrated. So like, hey, when we're going to learn, everybody's going to learn. Nobody's really a straggler, whether it's pre-con, a lecture or hands-on. First off, the hands-on that I went to listening to, did you go to, which ones did you go to as far as hands-on?
I went to Bobby Stroop.
So you're Bobby Stroop, right? So yeah. We were in that one together. So let's talk about that. So if you don't know Bobby Stroop, he's from, well, at this point, we don't know where he's from because he's all over the place, yeah. But everybody knows him as Pat Mahomes' strength coach.
That's what he said too. And I was laughing. when he said that he's trying to convince his wife that they can make a lot more money if they just officially change his name to, you know, to Bobby Pat Mahomes, his strength coach.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and when he said like, just the humility of it, like,
right.
He's a, you know, like he doesn't need to be that way. Like yeah. He's Bobby Stroop and everyone knows who Bobby Stroop is. And where he comes up and says, I know exactly why everybody's here. So let's just knock this video out. And I know, you know, like you wanted, and he showed the little Patrick Mahomes like clips, you know.
Yeah.
It was just, man, it was great. You know, yeah. And then when he's got into the you know, the movie clips and then the
BS movie reviews.
Yes.
BS movie reviews.
Dude, that should be, I don't know, he probably didn't have time for it, but that should be a YouTube show.
No doubt.
BS movie reviews. That was
absolutely
great. And then, you know, talking about the getting in depth in the fascial system and all that kind of stuff. I thought, you know, and it's just, that's the secret sauce is just listening to the things that those guys do a little bit different than yeah. everyone else.
I love the fact that Bobby was my spirit animal when he said, like, I don't have time to get approval from everybody else's thought processes. When I have an idea and I have a creative idea, I'm going to go for mm-hmm. it. And he made this BS movie review analogy to A Quiet Place. Is that yes. the movie? Or yeah. what's it's the movie where if you make noises, or the, oh, yeah, there's a, if you make noise, the creatures come and kill you. Right. Mm. Saying like, that's how the strength conditioning field is that if you try to make some noise, it's coming.
Nails it.
And he did a really good job of talking about how, you know, and then he went, you know, we went into depth on his vector training and his warm-ups and movement and locomotion. And I that could have been a whole nother thing in itself that we didn't even really get to. And it blew my complete socks off when that dude did a full squat with his ankles on the side of his feet.
Just watch that video.
You gotta be kidding me. Like what?
I was like, good gracious. You know, yeah. I mean,
and he made, go ahead.
I tapped out. Me and Stu Venable both tapped out about, so we started his, his warm up.
Yeah.
It's funny. I noticed that Stu and I had tapped out at the exact same point. Old man tap out time, but
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's really good how he mentions how he says, like, look, I'm not a quarterback's coach, not a baseball coach, but I know the body and teaching throwing mechanics, and like how he mentioned how he helped Trevor Story get out of this chronic bicep mm-hmm. pain he was having basically because of a lack of pronation and because of how hard he throws, it can be troublesome. And
yeah,
you know, he made the analogy of like, we're going to do 100 curls. You know, we talked about it in the car, the coach that's squat, bench, curl all the time, you know, that if you're just curl all the time and there's no rotation, just like at the, just like at the leg, like no tibial, you know, rotation mm-hmm. and stuff and movement prep. Like, guys, if you don't train it, I don't know how you're going to be efficient movers at what you do best, which in baseball is rotating and throwing, swinging, football, or any movement, agility-based sport, is being able to move and change direction. So we saw Bobby Stroop there in the early morning, and then the lecturer that day, who was it? What's his name? Eric Klein. Yeah, Coach Klein.
Yeah, that's good.
Who who went into depth on like just his straight philosophy, and he's been doing this for a long time. So what'd you hear from Coach Klein's presentation?
So I thought it was kind of cool with him because it was so similar to a lot of the ways that I've learned how to do it over the years, you know, yeah. The tumbling and a lot of those things that he talked really, I guess it's confirmation bias a little bit on my behalf. And, you know, it's kind of cool to, you know, you like to see someone doing something different, but it's kind of cool too when you see someone, the level of that coach be like, this is how we do it. And he's right. Like, hey, you know, we're on the right track. We're on the right track. So, but yeah, you know, it was kind of cool to hear from someone that's at such an academic institution as well.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, that's people do things you just can't like, not that, you know, every public high school is an academic like that, but, you know, we have our sports teams all day and, you know, and they didn't even let he said he didn't even let their kids out early to go to sporting events without a big fight with the, you know, so just to hear someone that's at a different situation, you know, it was good.
Yeah, no doubt. And then
I thought it was funny with him when he won one of the VMAX Pros in the partner giveaway.
Oh, did he really? I didn't even realize that. Holy cow.
And I heard him say, I got to figure out how to use this thing. And I was on my way toward him. And someone said, there's the guy to talk to. And I was like, hey, coach, if I can help you out. I said, my suggestion is just play around with it in your own training and then we'll talk. But I thought it was funny that some of the guys that won some of that technology in the partner giveaways were people that are not really known for their technology, you know, use. So it was kind of cool that they were able to get some of that. But
right. And then speaking of that, for those of you that don't know, like what also separates this conference is the giveaway. They do a huge raffle.
Oh, so
you register, you get your name badge, and you draw a ticket, and you put one in a bucket and one you keep. And then they give away
the main prize.
I know we're going to get to that. So, which blows my mind. I'm sitting there with Brandon Herring and John Hersel, you know, two Bama boys that we hung out with. And Brandon's over here shaking his head like, I'm 0 for 4. I haven't won anything. John's complaining. And they go all the way up from equipment companies giving away things such as like Simply Faster. We gave away 3 VMAX Pros. They gave away barbells, gave away plates, all kind of stuff. Team Builder gave away a whole year of premium subscription, all kind of stuff, right? And then they even did like
$10,000 in equipment.
Right. I mean, then they go up to go, all right, you've got $500, $1,000, $2,500, $5,000 gift certificate to use with any partner sponsor of the NHSSTA. And people get to like, get to do all that.
Yeti cooler full of cash.
Like, right. Like all these Yeti coolers full of cash.
Yeah.
And you just had like, to pick one. Yeah, man. And then the last grand finale was Satanta College. It's this online college out of Ireland that is fully accredited to the NSCA, fully built on a master's of science, master's degree in strength conditioning. And I remember sitting there, it's like, I'm not totally interested. I already have a master's, and they call out my ticket like to get this master's degree.
Can't give that thing away, man. That was hilarious.
I know it. And I was like, told Gary, I was like, I've already got one, man. Give it somebody who needs it. And they drew the next three names were guys that were probably 50 plus. And they're like, man, I'm not doing this.
I'm 50 plus. I would have taken it. the one guy that drove us around a little bit there, I think he was like 63. He's like, I'm not going back to school.
Yeah,
and
no chance.
Else had a master's. And then I think it was Bewley that said, after about the fifth person said, I don't want this $14,000 scholarship. I don't need it.
Right.
Bewley said, hey, anybody that's interested in this, throw the ticket in there. And that's people did it. But yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about that, man. That girl's life has changed because she's probably what? Maddie Distel. She's probably what? 25 maybe.
Yeah.
I mean,
25, you know, just getting into full time role. She's an assistant for Winkler up at Hoban. Yeah, sorry, Hoban. Yeah,
that's gonna increase her pay for the next 25, 30 years.
Yeah,
you know.
And
you
I
know,
bet like, that with it being accredited, like this isn't just like because my master's degree. I'm gonna be honest. I only got my master's because it allowed me to be a GA to coach. My content in my master's didn't really help me a ton, but this one with Satanta College, I mean, it's all about it. So she could learn a bunch of new stuff and but also, yeah, increase her pay immediately.
And the contacts he's going to make. Did you see the people that were professors for them and stuff? I mean, like, Schofield's a professor for him.
Yeah.
Or like an adjunct professor or whatever. I mean, it's right. Crazy.
Yeah, crazy. It's a big-time deal. So big ups to Maddie for drawing that. That's a big deal. And that's just really cool. You know, for the most part, that's kind of what the conference is a couple of lectures, a couple of hands-on. You know, we saw Bobby Stroop. Then I went to – what was the second one you went to? What was the second hands-on session you went to?
I went to Adam Vogel's.
What was his? Strongman? No.
No, doing the speed – The linear speed. He's got like the dog tags and stuff.
Cool. So update me on that, because I didn't see that. I went to Jeremy Boone's movement based games.
That was another great one. You know, he was just talking about using the timing system and how he, you know, tiers his, you know, like instead of using the wristbands, he has the dog tags or whatever.
Right.
You know, just the different, like just talking sprint, you know.
Yeah.
Sprint stuff.
Yeah. Cool, man. The one I went to with Jeremy Boone was so good. He's really good. And he went all the way from just something very simple as like anything that creates focus. So something you can do very quickly, he said you got to get it perfect of like clapping, half clap, high five. If you don't hear right, it doesn't count. Like it's a very good, easy way to have fun and engage and get people to focus. And then the movement part was like, one I really liked was speed tag, where you would have four cones. You'd have like five people lined up outside the box, five people inside. The people in the inside are just trying not to get tagged. And it's a timing thing. So you got person one goes and tags somebody in the box, got to get back and tag in. Guy two goes, and you got to go through all five people, have to tag somebody and come back before time's up. And then the team inside is trying to just avoid. Right. And you watch their movement strategy, because that's the thing is like, guys, it's not just for fun. Don't be a fan of these games. Be a coach and watch how they move. Watch their strategy of where their eyes go, how they decide to get from point A to point B. You know, like I was like that type of stuff can carry over to the sport, especially in games like in sports like football and basketball.
Yeah.
Things are happening so fast. So, you know, we took 10 or 11 games away from that we'll actually get the recording from, which I mean, all these we're going to get to be able to go see the recording anyway.
I've been lucky enough to be around Jeremy a lot because he lives down here, you know?
Right.
And I've seen his presentation and talked to him a lot about it. You know, all that reactive agility stuff, you know, if you can make it into a game, it turns into a much more higher intent, you know, situation. And that, you know, I'm not one of those, like, we're not using close-ended drills anymore, you know,
right.
We're only going reactive, but because there's, you know, there's a place for everything. But, you know, in the winter when our football guys are just kind of lifting and, you know, and not doing a whole lot of 7-on-7s and practicing stuff. I mean, what a great time to build that in, you know?
Yeah.
No doubt. It's great. And you know, I can't remember if it was Nick DeMarco or somebody I was listening to on a different situation that was saying that they've actually done some research where, you know, the human body's reaction to an inanimate object is so much different. Just the angles and how you stop, because you don't view it as a threat.
Yeah.
You know, your body doesn't view it as a threat. Kind of got into that. You know, you think about that. That's why you're seeing in those games, you're seeing such great intent, and you're seeing the transfer is going to be there because, you know, your body is getting into the similar situations you're going to be in and how you move. And it's the whole thing. And it's great.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a big deal to see all these different strategies that are just no longer about how big the squat and bench is. You know, like that's the thing is there wasn't a whole lot about that.
No.
Because that's not, you know, and we've got to find ways.
I mean, even Eric was talking about, I don't back, you know, I'm a front squat guy.
Right.
You know?
I mean, and hey, whatever. I mean, kudos to how you get it done. Okay, but
I mean, it wasn't your traditional, you know, just that type of heavy weightlifting X and O stuff.
Right. Even a very important one that you don't see very often was Missy's presentation on training the female athlete, which was very good. One of the things I took from her presentation is understanding like female joint laxity is such a big deal, you know, and how instability, like the stability part of training is just as important as anything, especially with them. You know, the, how strength is important, but their movement ability is even more important, you know, and like being able to be stable in positions where they play, which to me, stability and strength aren't the same thing. They're similar, but they're not the same. But, and then another one is just how you approach them, period. Cause like I, even with me as a male coach, like I struggle with some of our like younger eighth, ninth grade females on how to connect and how to drive them. And cause you know, she made a great point on like, if you're going to compete, like a lot of males really drive off that competitive environment. Yeah. And I'm not saying that some females don't, but they want it to be more about personal growth. And then they were want to be around sport for the social aspect rather than just a competitive aspect, which that opened up my eyes a lot on now my approach going into the rest of the summer and into just the school year itself of how to keep girls involved in sports. I didn't realize that stat was crazy of like how many girls drop out of sports, you know, and then trying to dig in why. And a lot of it has to do with, like, if they don't have a friend group in that team.
Yeah.
They're good
gone.
Luck.
They're gone.
You know, so
my daughter went through that. I mean, my own child went through that last year where she switched clubs, to get a little bit closer to home and not have to drive so far. And she, it about killed her desire to play soccer. Because her previous club she'd been with, she loved the coach. The coach was one of those guys that just knows how to coach girls, you know?
Yeah.
And very Socratic in his coaching methods and, you know, not a lot of gambling, more, you know, questioning. And her other group, a good team. I mean, they were a good team, but it was not a tight-knit group. You know, just that whole thing. And I'm telling you, man, it about got her to not want to play soccer anymore. So.
Wow.
See that today talking about with girls, it's funny you said that because today I get done with our guys and I'm just frankly a little agitated with some of the effort from some of our male athletes and my girls are coming in and I was a little grumpy with them and today and you know and I could just see in there like I could just see them looking at me like why are you acting like this, you know?
Yeah.
So I stopped myself. I took a big deep breath and I said, look, Coach Hoover's being a big grumpy bear today because of something happened early. Everything to do with you. Got them smiling again, you know. And but you're right. I wrote an article for Simply Faster, and then one of the lead parts of the article was this is God's honest truth. As much as I love working with football because it's kind of the high testosterone alpha sport.
Yeah.
Later on in my career, you know, and I'm getting down where I probably have 12, 13, 14 years left. If an opportunity ever popped up where I was able to work solely with female athletes, I'd jump on it.
Wow.
I'd jump.
How about that?
I really would. It just made, you know, they're if you give them the reason, you know, like Missy was talking, if they're so more analytical and want to be like, all right, girls, this is why we're doing this. And this is why I need you to do it that way. And then you just let them go. And most of the time, you know, they want to, especially once you have a good relationship with them and they,
right.
And there's a prospect there. I mean, it's a great situation. So,
yeah, I even experienced that when I was at the first ever team I ever coached. I have a picture up on my bookshelf of the 2016, West Alabama volleyball group that I got to train. And it was one of those things, you know, I came in, you know, first team ever, you know, I'm guns blazing a little bit, but you realize that with girls, it takes longer to get their trust. But once you have it, they go through a brick wall for you, you know, and a lot of guys think they know it all. A lot of girls are just nervous and want you to show them the way. So
that's
a great point. And it's fun. Yeah. It's fun to coach a team, especially when you have a head coach that gets it too.
Yeah.
Cause they're a huge driver in that as well. Mm-hmm. So big ups to Missy for doing that. If you don't know Missy and Beth, she was a long time strength coach at TCU, big time volleyball. I mean, her girls volleyball at Byron Nelson High School in Texas around the Dallas area is like, I think they were number one in the country at one point. She talked about how good they are. So she's an excellent, excellent resource, board member for the NHSSCA as well. Very bright. I'd follow her on Twitter and Instagram if you can.
She plays pro or semi-pro beach volleyball too. Doesn't,
I mean, something she's like crazy that. Athlete. I know that she's, she's definitely that. There's no doubt.
She's a star.
She's definitely a big contact to know. And that's one we heard. And, but other than that, man, it was, that's kind of a wrap for it. You know, we traveled back on Sunday for most of us and caught flights back home. And, you know, I had this, did I tell you that I had a lot of trouble at the airline?
No.
So I had my iPad stands that SimpliFaster provided. They were heavy duty. Like, I'm just like, I can't leave these here. These are so nice.
No.
And getting them in my suitcase. Well, my suitcase went from being 49 pounds, right under 50, what my podcast studio, to like 74. And they won't put something over 70 pounds on the plane. And I was like, I don't know what to do. So I had to, like, in the middle of the airport, take the stuff out, put it in my personal suitcase, put stuff in my carry-on. And I ended up getting it on. You know, we figured it out. The guy there was really helpful. But that was it. Brandon dropped his boarding pass like way before security.
Get it.
But I also got a chance.
That's something that would happen to Brandon too.
I know it.
That is so something.
And then to cap off my experience, I got to about an hour and a half. We got there early for Brandon's flight, but me and Jeremy Evans from the King's Academy and down in Florida, we had known each other for a long time and followed each other, but never had a chance. We got to sit down because we were there super early for Brandon's really early flight. And our flight, I think his flight was gone at 9:30. Mine was at 10:30. So, and we were there, we're through security at 7. So we got breakfast together, talked to each other, didn't stop talking for Kylie for 2.5 hours, just getting to know each other.
He's the man.
You know, like he, such a humble dude and very bright, bright guy. And he gets it, and he was he's doing a great job down there, and we weren't even talking strength conditioning, man. We were talking life. Yeah. How he's got a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old. I've got a 2-year-old. How his kid's in jiu-jitsu and doing all these other things, and how he had an AD leave, and how his president walked into his office, and Jeremy, I hope you're not embarrassed that I'm sharing this, but his president walked into his office and said, "Jeremy, you've been doing a great job. What's it going to take to make sure you stay here for a little while?" And he got a raise on the spot.
He called me up and he said that there was some other things going on. And the president called him in and said, "How much is it going to take just to guarantee that, you know, you're here?" And that, and I told him, I said, when he was telling me about that, he said, "Yeah, the president wants to, I got a meeting set up with the president." And I said, "Dude, you're about to get a big raise." And he's like, "I don't know, maybe." I was like, "No, what? I mean, they're not calling you in there to say good luck. We've enjoyed having you here. They're calling you in there to say, I mean, like, how do we keep you here forever?" I was like, and that's the right move, man. I mean, you got to know him real well. And I've known him well for a while. I mean,
sure.
That's just a guy that whatever it takes, like, pay that dude whatever it takes to keep him there, because it's going to be worth it.
Yeah. Completely agree. Such a good, and that just shows, guys, like the parallel of that kind of conversation. I have no doubt, probably with 98, I don't want to say 100. I would hope so, but 98% of anybody that was at that conference, if I would have had an opportunity to sit down at breakfast or whatever with any of those coaches, it would have went the same way, you know?
Oh yeah.
Sharing everything we had to know and helping each other. Like there's no hoarding information. Hey, what's your situation like? Mm-hmm. It's different than mine. What do you do in your situation that might fit mine? And vice versa. Like, what do you do that might can help fit mine? And that's how we all truly grow, you know? Me, you, and John hopping in the car because I'm over here freaking out because I got to get some things for the live stream.
Yeah.
And
you, like, get nervous, man.
My wife tells me I'm a perfectionist. Like I need everything to be right, and that plays a lot of good stuff, but it also can come back to haunt me. And John's like, "Dude, man, you need to go sit down and have a drink, man. You need to relax.
Calm down, man."
I was like, "John," it's like, "All right, let's hop in the car," and we drove around the suburbs of Minneapolis and got a couple things, but just getting to sit down and eat together and
that was great.
That was awesome, you know.
I love, John Hersel was this previous strength coach here at York.
Right. And, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And he called me up and said, hey, I'm leaving you. You know, they want to talk to you. And at that point, I wasn't in a position really to leave because the time of the year there. And I thought that job was never going to come around. And the way it worked out, it opened up again in October. And that's what got me here in 2017. But so John and I, yeah, we met at the NSC CSCS preparation exam thing years ago. And he was actually teaching it with Winthrop there. He taught part of it. And we ended up meeting and we drove together to the first NatCon.
Yeah,
that's cool. When we met Steve Schween. But my most interesting or funniest like conversation was Stuart Venable from, you know, Nebraska, right?
Yeah, yeah,
Nebraska.
Yeah.
He walks up and he said, and what's your deal? And I said, what do you mean? He's like, are you a strength coach? You work to sell wood? And I said, he goes, I know you were a strength coach, but what are you doing now? You're a vendor or you're a partner? I was like, no. I said, I'm a strength coach. You know, that's what I do. I'm still at York. He goes, okay. So I see it. He goes, what's up with Simply Faster? And I said, you know, we're affiliated. I said, it's kind of like friends with benefits, you know, I help them. They have certain things they need, coaches, you know, and they're smart to do it that way. There's certain things they need done. And why send someone that's not a coach to do it when you could send coaches to do it, like you and I doing things for him. And he kind of explained, he goes, oh, well, that's actually pretty cool. And I said, yeah, it's worked out pretty good. But yeah, that was funny. He walked up and he said, well, what is your deal with that
situation? Yeah. And for those of you that don't know, I mean, this will go on my YouTube channel, you know, simplyfaster.com is a online platform that has coach education. Plus they sell a lot of technology products, including the VMAX Pro Velocity tracking device that both Mark and I use that we gave away. Well, Christopher gave away at the NatCon. Yeah. Christopher's the CEO. So unbelievable sports people.
Technology evangelist.
Yeah. Right? The sports that's technology evangelist. That's it. He gets it, man. He's a good dude. They're good people. Give him business, man. Not that we're getting kickback from that, just because me and you wouldn't be affiliated with this organization if we didn't think they were good people. And we're really excited. You know, they've got, the best thing about them is their blogs are vetted by coaches who are really good. They don't just let anybody write for them. So go on their blog and read their stuff. They've got categories from everything you can think of. I mean, buyer's guide to technologies. That's a huge one, right? They're like, hey, let me guide you on like, all right, you're looking for velocity technology tracking, barbell tracking. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's your options. Pretty unbiased. Right. And then you've got time and gate systems, right? I mean, you're one of them, Mark. You have free lap, dasher, all of the above. I don't know. Stopwatch Plus.
You used to have a Zybek. Right now, it's just dasher and the free lap.
But. Yeah. So you can reach out to Mark for that too. He's more of the product specialist. I'm kind of more on the education on the blog side for him, along with the podcast and educational side. I feel like that's kind of more my strong suit. So, glad you guys could join us. We've been going for about 40 minutes. I think this was a good recap of finally getting back in person and being able to hang out. You know, it was first time Mark and I ever met in person, you know, gotten to hang out and do this. So
lots of people the first time, you know, it's crazy. I just say, if you're not a member of the National High School Strength Coach Association, you know, and you can be a member of other organizations, you know, I am, but you are, you know, it's just this organization for high school coaches, it's just something special.
Yeah.
And I can't push it enough that it's $100. You know, what do you get for $100? Well, the fact that I have friends all over the country, that's worth $100 a year to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? It's just the fact that, you know, it's just like the level of coach, you know, that I can just jump on the phone with now and be like, hey, let me bounce this off. You know how many times I've called Gary Schofield for advice?
Yeah.
I can't express enough.
Yeah. It's do it. You know, if you're involved in high school athletes, period, walk into train athletes, do it. Cause you can't pay for better continuing education than friendship. Being able to call up a friend on the phone, like, hey, what do you think about this? And you have a friend that's going to bounce off information to you in a way that's simply just trying to help you. You know, they're not trying to, because I've had conversations with coaches when I've asked for help Instead, they've kind of just confirmed how good of a coach they are rather than really helping me. And that doesn't happen. I haven't experienced that. Yeah. You know, right.
And like just to have a conversation.
Right. No doubt. So you've got that, you know, for it's $100 a year. You know, you can't go wrong with that, man. It's an absolute steal. You know, they do everything they can to make this thing affordable because they know that, you know, we're not working with multi-million dollar budgets like a lot of Power Five staffs get to play with, you know, so that's a big deal. If you can join, if you have more questions, you can ask me and Mark about that. You know, like calling Gary Schofield. Like I talked to Fred Eves for an hour and a half on Saturday night.
When you guys looked like it was pretty heavy duty too.
Yeah.
We were sitting right behind Tony Stewart, Nick Ficker and JT Thomas. And I was sitting close to you.
Yeah.
And we kept looking over there like we wanted to kind of jump in with you guys, but you were in the heavy duty conversation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not to get too, cause it was a pretty personal conversation, but Fred pulled me aside to tell me that that conversation he got nothing out of. He didn't have to say the things he said. He took an interest in me. He gave me some life advice, told me that, you know, I'm a young guy that's got an opportunity to make an impact and that every choice that I make is important and to make sure that you keep your ducks in a row. Like that's the short of it. Like you went into a lot of detail about other areas and he didn't have to say that kind of stuff, man. He really didn't. He didn't have to take his time in a time where one, he get to catch up with friends that he hadn't seen in forever. And this is the last night there. And he took a whole hour and a half out of his time to go say, Cody, let's go talk, man. Let's sit down. Let's hang out. I got something I want to share with you. And that's just the overall representation or a microcosm of what the NHSSCA is. And I really, really believe in the organization and where it's going. So keep an eye out, man. You never know what area you're in. There's state clinics. There's family days, which is like the free clinic that some people will put on. There's regional conferences, and then there's the national conference. If you'll just go to nhssca.us, you can find all the information you need there, whether it's events around you. They've got an online database of all these presentations, all of these tools, all of these resources and references. Is there a directory on the website of all the members? I'm not even sure.
I'm not sure if there is or not. That'd be cool.
Maybe a good idea to have a directory of the
Toby.
Yeah, and contact info so you can email or call somebody depending on what they want, you know, information wise out. So, but do that, man. And I would really highly encourage everyone to reach out to go and check it out. So other than that, Mark, you got any final closing words on the conference experience we had?
No, just like I said, people probably listen to this that aren't involved with the association or didn't go and probably think that we're blown out of proportion. I promise you, every single thing you're reading online, coaches are tweeting and putting on Facebook, absolute fact. Absolute fact. Just a blast.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we'll let you guys go. And if you need anything, don't feel free to reach out to me or Mark. We're on Twitter. We're on, you know, you can email us. You can do whatever you need to do to get in touch with us. So we'll see you guys. We'll see you guys next time. And that's it for the episode with Mark Hoover. Mark's a great guy. It was an awesome time to hang out with at the National Conference. Second half of this podcast episode is coming from Rich Burnett at the Greater Atlanta Christian, founder and creator of the Plyomats. So let's get right to it. What's going on, everybody, here at the 2021 NHSSCA NatCon here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The Student Athlete Preparation Podcast is here in the Partner Alley here at Wayzata High School, however you pronounce it. But here I've got a good friend of mine, really close friend of mine and colleague and innovator in the industry. I really do believe in Rich Burnett over at Greater Atlanta Christian, man. Thanks for hanging out with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Cody.
One thing I want to show you guys, that reason I wanted to sit down with Rich for this quick conversation, is about his new product that he's launching called the Plyomat. Okay, a lot of you guys are familiar with the Just Jump Mat. This mat does just as much, if not more. And I want to hear Rich talk about it a little bit. We'll even show a little bit of some examples. I actually tested on it earlier, doing some RSI type scoring and jumping and stuff. So, Rich, tell us about the Plyomat, man.
Yeah, so first I want to go back 5 years ago when I first came across the four jump mode, the Just Jump Mat. So if you're not familiar, if you keep pushing that red button, or I'm sorry, if you turn the Just Jump Mat on and it cycles through the modes and you get to the four jump mode and you push the red button on that guy, it gives you what's called the explosive leg power factor. That's what Paul McDevitt called it, who created the Plyomat under the Probotics LLC in Huntsville, Alabama, and that was 30 years ago. And so he unknowingly tapped into what we all know now is reactive strength and reactive strength index. So Paul gets a lot of credit for that. There wasn't obviously much, you know, 30 years ago. I was 1 year old at the time, so I definitely didn't know much
alive,
about it. And 5 years ago when I found it, it was just in our kinesiology department's lab, and not many people were using it. I knew it was a more convenient way to measure vertical. That's all I knew it as. That's what everybody knows the Just Jump Mat is. It's right. Like, oh, it's a faster vertec. But is it as good as the vertec? Oh, yeah, it's about an inch off. Okay, cool. Oh, it's pretty cheap. You know, $5.99. It's about like $7.50 now shipped. But what I tapped into, though, with the four jump mode was like more than just vertical. I now can assess an athlete's reactivity with the ground because it's measuring contact time, right?
Okay.
So here I am kind of getting giddy about it, like, you know, thinking I may have found something cool here. So I took our entire track team when I was the Division I head strength coach at Texas A&M University Corpus Christi. And guess what? Our best sprinters, hurdlers, and jumpers had the highest RSI score on this four jump mode.
Oh, wow.
No surprise. But also very affirming, like, what am I actually assessing here? What am I looking at? There's a learning curve associated with anything that is reactive and reactive strength and any plyometric activity, because there's this conflict of, I want to jump high, but I want to be quick. And it's the same thing if you're sprinting forwards, you know, in stride length, stride frequency. And so you have to understand and organize your body in a way that you anticipate contact, yet you still can get the most out of that contact, you know, in that short contact. So it wasn't that surprising that our best track athletes were good at it because they also understood it. They understood the application faster. And there's some people that are really good at reactive strength stuff. That's what I think Mark Hoover's finding out as he experiments with our demo, yet maybe they're not the best athletes. So I took it a step further and looked at our team sport athletes. I had a little competition in the weight room, and we had, you know, our volleyball team, our soccer team, our basketball guy. Our literal best athletes, not even like weight room athletes, literally our best athletes, our best volleyball middle, our best soccer forward. These were females. Our best number one singles tennis player. All three of them were scoring a 3.0 on the four jump mode RSI. And it was just effortless for them. So that told me that they're okay. There's a little bit more of the story of stiffness, elasticity, but also deceleration, core control, anticipation. So I just started just going nuts in the research, man. I mean, I still to this day have a Google Drive that's just overflowing with stiffness and elasticity articles. And I got so obsessed with it that I ended up speaking at the Texas State Clinic for the NSCA. You know, over 250 people in attendance. We had jump mats everywhere. And Tanner Burge helped me set all that up. And, you know, we just talked, you know, stiffness, elasticity. I didn't call it RSI because really it's RSI is just a way to assess elasticity.
It's a test, right?
It's a test. So by definition, reactive strength index, there's a few ways to do it, is hopping bilaterally 5 to 10 times, whatever, however you want to do it, and then dividing that flight time by contact time. Now, this is where there's we'll make this educational in that most people think that RSI is calculated all the same. It's not.
Yeah.
There's MRSI, which actually takes jump height and divides it by contact time. But the math only works if you use meters instead of inches. So you actually take jump height in meters and divide that by the contact time. That's MRSI. Hawken Dynamics actually uses MRSI really consistently in the way that they actually assess jump height. It's very different from anybody else. They use takeoff velocity, and it's brilliant. They actually can find out someone's jump height before they even leave the force plate. And so what Plyomat is then is a switch mat. It's a contact mat. It's not a force plate. We do look at flight time. And we assess flight time by the time you leave the ground and the switch, the actuation force leaves the switch, and it actuation force of your body weight closes the circuit again, and it measures that as a time interval, and it's flight time. And we also look at the ground contact time. But with Just Jump Mat, I was still like, man, I want more. I want 5 jumps. I want 10 jumps. I want a single leg hop. I want to know what my RSI is just doing one jump, single leg RSI, something I've been talking to Joel Smith about. Like, I wanted to open up, you know, Pandora's box and reactive strength, but I wanted the reactive strength index to guide me in that way. And there was only one way to do it with the Just Jump Mat, which was the four jump mode.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it at that. Okay. I mean, I do want to get into the background of really how I got started with it a year ago, but if there's anything you want to comment on.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it could be a powerful tool. I want coaches to hear, you know, not just the background of how you got into it, because I think you covered the gist of what made it worth pursuing. You know, like you fought like this is, I'm showing something that can be valuable for trying to, because at the end of the day, we're pursuing how to make athletes really good, you know, like doing what they do best. And I mean, the more we see our performance moving, the more that we're getting towards, you know, strength is important, but the squad is no longer the absolute king in training anymore.
On that note, as I'm getting all this RSI data, of course I want to correlate it with other things.
Sure.
I want to say, hey, are our fastest guys good RSI? Or, you know, 10-yard dash, 10-yard fly, vertical jump. Relative back squat has the highest correlation with reactive strength, whether really? It's a box squat or a back squat.
Okay.
It's like our whole football team past 3 years.
Well, like I'm saying, strength is important,
yep.
But to a point.
Yep. Then everything's connected.
Everybody's obviously. Saying like yeah. There's a law of diminishing returns of strength, mm-hmm. but they don't know how to define that. This gives us an opportunity to define
reactive
it.
Strength, supplied yeah. strength.
There and you go. So,
and it, you know, it's like 5 years ago, I thought it was the Holy Grail. Of course, now reality sets in, experience, and you realize it's not the most important quality. It's not the most important KPI, but dang, is it pretty good, and it's really convenient to do, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the caveat for me too with creating this product. I needed it to be convenient to measure. I needed it to be reliable so that I can, you know, trust the data. And so the way Plyomag got started, Cody, it was March 2020, basically kind of a COVID thing in yep. terms of having time on my hands to think and act, and which, you know, it's hard to come by. But even before that, I was working with Just Jump and Paul. I mean, he's only 2 hours away, and he actually had donated some mats to us. And while I was with under Coach Schofield at GAC, and because I still wanted to ride this reactive strength training. When I left Corpus Christi to take the job at GAC, I was telling Schofield right away. I was like, we got to find a way. Like, this is what I was yeah. really tapping into. We needed a way to assess it. And he was like, okay, cool. Let's get some jump mats. That was our most affordable way to do it. Mm-hmm. And, man, years went by, and I just stopped hearing from Paul. Like, I literally just, you know, I don't know what happened. The website's down. Like, I just can't get a hold of him. Two of our mats kind of broke. And I was like, yeah. man, how do I get a hold of this guy? So I still wanted him to help me innovate these other features that I wanted built in. And then I'm looking, okay, well, what else is out there, you know, on the market? And I know I couldn't afford anything over, you know, $3,000 in terms of a force plate or force plate software.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, so the next best thing really I could find is Fusion Sports Smart Jump. And I was ready to buy it. Yeah. I was like, I looked at my budget, and I was like, okay, $3,500, it's worth it to me. This thing is, can't put a price on it that, you know, beyond what I can afford in it. Their software is really, you know, customizable. It really, the interface is pretty clean. They have the red and green light to show you feedback for an athlete if their contact time's too slow or whatever. And so I asked my AD, and he's like, no, you know, we don't have $35 to buy something like this. And
right,
I'm like, all right. So freaking A, you know, I got time on my hands. Like, let me start asking the right people, start sending some text messages out. How can I create this technology?
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to rip anybody off. I'm not a business-minded person in terms of like, oh, I could fill in this gap. I just literally wanted to see if I could do it
yeah.
and use it at GAC. I mean, that was my mission. And so I had time on my hands. So, and the stories, I'll spare all the details, but the one fun detail to share is really how I came across ultimately the person who made the Plyomat for me in terms of the electronics
yep.
and is my neighbor.
How about that? So he's so, the engineer that's helping
yeah.
you.
Yeah. So we're 50-50. So yeah. we're a business now. Athletic right. Assessment Technology is our name because we do plan on making other stuff at some point.
But right.
Plyomat's our flagship product. And, you know, the only thing I'm interested in selling at this point. And I came to him with the vision and packaged it all. Like, help me just do this stuff that I have no idea how this works,
yeah. yeah.
but I know exactly what I want. Help me measure time. Help me record time with ground contacts and flight. That's literally all I want using a switch mat, you know? And I went shopping for switch mats from China to, you know, California, like, and everything yeah. in between. And we found this company in ASO in New Jersey, and they're phenomenal. And so we've been using their mats, but the way I even found my neighbor, who's now my business partner, was through Nextdoor app.
Really? Yeah. So if you don't know the Nextdoor app, my wife uses. I don't use it, but she's always a, hey, there's all these people trying to, you better lock your door. There's people trying to, oh, you got this going on, like trying to keep your neighborhood yeah. safe. Yeah. And that's how you met your business yeah. partner?
And our Nextdoor spans out to, like, you know, 5 mile radius. So he's not quite my neighbor in our homeowners association, but he's close enough to yeah. where I could say that. And he's in our Nextdoor app. I made a post. I put a couple pictures of like switches and electronics, and I put a little spiel. He's like, is there any chance that any of you are electrical engineers? I was like, it can't hurt. I can literally post anything I want on there. Like, there's a fox in my backyard. You know, watch out. Like, hide your kittens, you know.
Yes.
That's literally what people post in North Georgia. And Larry Eaton just happened to be, like, popping around. You know, I mean, he's old enough to be my dad. He's a microcontroller engineer, graduated from Georgia Tech, goes fishing on the weekends, hits a few projects up. And that's, I mean, he was just like, yeah, maybe I'll get into this. I'll give Rich a call. So we next thing you know, man, I mean, I'm hanging out at his house like a few times a week, and we're just really starting to realize that, man, we're building into something. And then the big piece of it is the app development.
Yeah.
I mean, getting the app developed. We had decided pretty quickly, because we had built a display. He can do anything. He's an electrical microcontroller engineer. So we actually created a display that we envisioned it to be kind of like the Just Jump. It's a display that sits right on. There's more lines of info. You can have 4x20, mm-hmm. so it can show you breakdowns of RSI and all this stuff. And it was made. We had it made, and if you look at my Instagram far enough, you'll see just wires everywhere and just mm-hmm. like the display. Well, you know, we kind of decided that you know, Bluetooth was going to be the way to go.
Yeah.
And so we had to get an app developed. Where do I go to get that? You know, so next thing you know, man, I'm on Fiverr and Freelancer. And like, man, that's just like the way the whole thing worked in terms of how much money I've put into, you know, how little money, honestly, if I'm just being frank, that it took to create this, you know, just it's for a full-time strength coach that doesn't want to stop coaching. Like, it was exactly what I was looking for. I was like, I just need it to be a base level. And so, you know, at some point, I mean, it is getting a lot of good attention. You know, coaches like or Iowa football has some of our demos. Mm-hmm. Canada Rugby has one. Arkansas Razorbacks has one. Brijesh Patel has one. At Quinnipiac University, we got a couple coaches in Southeast, but a lot of high school guys.
Yeah.
Because they struggled to teach reactive strength or plyometric as a concept to their kids. So when they have that green-red light flash, like, that's really all the difference. So that's really one of our key features, not to mention the quadrant that we just added to help people actually, oh, what's my RSI score? Okay, well, how do I break it down to actually, you know, see what my height was and how I got that RSI score?
Yeah, that's the coolest thing. I remember trying to use the four jump mode on the Just Jump mat when I first got to Madison Academy. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited. And I got the numbers and I was like, I don't know. I don't know what it's telling me. You know, like, in showing me what we just showed you, what you just showed me with the test with your quadrant.
You did pretty good, man. You got some balance.
Yeah.
You got some switch, Cody.
Well,
I got you in slow-mo, actually. I'm going to show that. Yeah, you guys might actually see some of that video, man.
Yeah, yeah. We'll show that here. You can watch it as we're talking about it. But
big
that was
hops.
Yeah.
To me, those are real hops. When people say, oh, I got bunnies, and they're just jumping a counter-movement jump, that's not bunnies.
It's not applicable bunnies.
There's no reactivity involved at all. You didn't really have to react to the ground.
Right.
Whereas hopping bunnies, like, you know, that's the ability to take horizontal force and momentum for vertical displacement, right? We've seen those things correlate. Even though it is vertical, it's on a mat. I have a 2-foot by 5-foot mat, mm-hmm. so we can kind of do things that are more forward progressive.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what people's beef is a little bit. Like, oh, it's only a vertical thing. You know, all plyometrics ultimately need to be horizontal. Like, going back to what I said in the beginning, our best track athletes were scoring really good. So it's odd to me
because if you listen to any sprint coach, when you get into max velocity, it's vertical force. You know, vertical. If your foot's striking underneath your hip, how much? I mean, it's not as horizontal as you think in max velocity, at least. You know, so it's not like it's not important. It's just a vert thing.
And mechanically, absolutely. Like, that makes the most sense. But from a muscle tendon complex assessment standpoint, the MTC of the ankle, you know, doesn't really, you know, discriminate between whether it's going forward or up in terms of how it's tolerating that load and responding to it. So, and man, all the research that I got through when I was just talking stuff, this before plyomat was even like a thought in my mind 4 years prior, like, I was just stumbling upon so much stuff with the entire system. Like, even Stuart McGill looked at core strength and lower extremity stiffness. There's a whole white paper on it. It's fantastic. Yeah. You know, because, like, you know, we were talking about back strength, relative squat strength, strength in general, everything's connected. It's a system. So even though it's vertical in terms of the test that we're able to do, it really still is representative of how an athlete moves in space in terms of, like, explosiveness, twitch, elasticity, you know, whatever you want to call it. So
awesome. Well, dude, well, tell us before we let you go, I don't want you to take up too much of your time, but when it comes to application, because this is where I think coaches want to hear And your answer may be, we don't know yet. It could be. But you've been down this rabbit hole for 4 years of just this one component. Mm-hmm. It comes to programming, right? Or yep. approach to whether it's profiling. Yep. People tier their training of like, all right, what's a needs assessment for what this kid needs? So break down a little bit of like, all right, we get on the mat. We collect data. We see trends, maybe of your quadrant. And then that will send you into action of approach of training. Talk to me a little bit about what you see based off that quadrant.
Yeah, so that's $1 million question, right?
Right. Like, so I figured we're still searching for that answer, yeah, but I know you have an idea.
How does this affect decision making? Otherwise, what are we doing? We're just, you know, twiddling our thumbs and saying, high five, you got a good RSI score. Like, yeah. You do want it to impact decision making. And correct that it's not set yet. You need data to, I think, drive those decisions. But even acutely, in a moment, we did a drill. Where we had different box heights, and I had different jump mats all in front of all the different box heights. Mm-hmm. And I just had the kids, hey, speed box hop. I'll start on the box. I pop right back on. 12-inch box. 18-inch box, 24-inch box. Can you get 20 and all 20 reps be in the green? Which I set the green, I think, at a 0.2 seconds contact time, so 200 milliseconds.
So where did you get that number from? Why is that green? Or are you just, sticking in the dark? Hey, we're going to try this number and go with it. That's how research is done.
If I'm a movement specialist and I know what global movement should look like, then no matter what plyometric task, I can think like, oh, that's kind of too slow or kind of too fast.
Right.
Same people when people ask me why I set our block clean pull minimum speed at 1.75 meters per second peak velocity, because it looks the best.
Because it looks fast.
Yeah. It's just like they're actually moving the weightlifting derivative the way that I want. That's the standard.
Right.
That's the cutoff. But between male and female, I was talking to Joe Eisenman about this. Yeah. He's like, hey, you need to make sure you build in the opportunity to adjust the y-axis and x-axis of that quadrant.
Yeah.
Because not everybody's going to fit within that score, right?
Good point.
Like
yep.
Age, training age, male, female. Our male athletes have scored higher than our female athletes, and I got 3 years of data to show that. And so, yeah, there are discrepancies. So on that note, in that particular drill, I liked 200 milliseconds. It seemed to be, okay,
awesome.
This is the moneymaker right here. So anyway, going back to your question of how it affects decision making and how you actually use it in that acute setting, this example would show that, hey, okay, cool, coach, I got 20. Now I'm going to try the 18-inch box. And like, ooh, I mean, they're really having to focus, create tension. I'm popping off an 18-inch box, and I got to go right back on.
Ooh, yeah.
And not in a squat. It's still a explosive, small range of motion, ankle, knee task. And then, okay, the 24-inch box, which I struggle to do, 20 reps in a row, without breaking stride.
Yeah.
We have a soccer goalie. She was going into her senior year now. She's committed to Ohio State, and she was obsessed. She couldn't, she's like, I have to get 20 on the 24-inch box. And
right.
She nailed it, man. I mean, it's just, that is that feedback loop in which she was really developing plyometrically, and training this elastic component in one session and seeing herself get better.
Right.
That's what we all hope to happen. So theoretically, if that's happening in an acute setting in this one session, then over time it's going to improve herself. And now she has this quality. Now,
gotcha.
From a hardware and software standpoint, she is improving, whatever physiological development is happening with ankle, tibialis, interior, whatever's in core strength. I mean, it's a core exercise, mm-hmm. and the anticipation, the timing of it. So as far as long-term goes, just to quickly respond to that, you can actually profile athletes, kind of like the way Sparta Science does in terms of their load, explode, and drive. My goal is to kind of profile our athletes from a reactivity standpoint, mm-hmm. using three different assessments, and then using that to guide a plyometrics program, because that's big time.
Yeah, that's huge.
If as soon as you're establishing that this person needs this type of plyometric activity to address, a deficiency here, that's when it gets a lot better.
Well, man, we're going to get rolling on these partner sessions. I'm glad you sat down with me. Maybe we can catch up and go a little deeper sometime. But thanks for having you, man. Appreciate you showing up.
Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, man.